read from the book of Jonah, and in the Old Testament, and God answered Jonah's prayer. And that's something that all of us can do, is pray. And you know, there's a lot of great lessons or things that we can get out of the book of Jonah. One thing that I like, and Todd touched on this a little bit, is about the judgment of God. But God loves people too. He gives people a chance to repent. You know, since we don't know all the details sometimes in all these stories, but when Noah was building this ark, we know he didn't build it overnight. It could have taken him 10 years, could have taken him 100 years. I mean, seeing Noah build this ark, they could have said, "Hey, Noah, why are you building this ark? There's judgment coming, rain is coming. You can repent." But sadly, it was just Noah's family that repented, and they were in the ark and the animals. And then the same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a judgment coming, but first God told Abraham about it, and Abraham almost talked him down. He said, "Lord, if there's 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you spare them?" And so you can read the story. It's a message in itself, but he talked them down to 10 people. He said, "If there's only 10 people, righteous people, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah?" He said, "Yes, I'll spare it." There were not 10 people. And you can read there that the angels came to visit Lot, and the people did not treat the angels well in the city. But all that to say, in the judgment, before the judgment, there was opportunity for people to turn. And here in the book of Jonah, God saw this city of Nineveh. It was a big city in the Old Testament. And you can read at the end, it said there were more than 120,000 people who didn't even know the difference between their right hand and their left hand. That's pretty serious, a lot of people. And God loved those people so much, even though they were doing wicked things, he said, I want to send Jonah to go talk to him, tell them to repent. And so I'm going to go over part of the story. So Jonah, first, he did not want to go. Jonah had other plans. Maybe you'd heard how wicked they were there in Nineveh, but Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 3. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a great tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." And you can read the story, but it's an interesting thing that Jonah's decision to run away from God had consequences. It wasn't just him having the consequences. The people in the ship, they actually had to start throwing stuff overboard because of the storm. And it turned out that the storm had come because of Jonah disobeying God. And so they were in this storm out there, and the shipmaster goes down. Jonah was asleep in the boat while these people are trying to rescue the boat, trying to throw stuff overboard. And he wakes them up. And verse 6, Jonah chapter 1, verse 6, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And so, verse 8, "Then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what country art thou?" So, verse 9, "And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land." And so there they are in this big storm, and Jonah is sort of confessing that he had run away from God. And so then they said, "What can we do to stop this storm?" And so you can read the whole chapter there. There's more to it than what I'm describing right now. But verse 12, "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." And so, you know, if you want to say what is a lesson we can learn from this story, Jonah, he made a bad decision, if you want to say. And you can say, the question could be asked, have we ever made a bad decision in our life? Have we ever made bad decisions? And then how do we get out of these bad decisions? How can we rescue ourselves out of a bad decision? And so there's some lessons to be learned here from this story. And so Jonah, he took responsibility for what had happened there. And then if you want to say he repented, and then we're going to, the main message point is here in chapter 2 about how he prayed. He prayed in this midst of the situation, and God turned the situation around. And God can turn situations around for us. And one of the biggest decisions any of us can make, first of all, is whether we become a Christian or not. And the wonderful thing is that God has promised that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We know that very familiar Bible verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so God made a way for people to be saved, but they have to receive it. They have to call upon him. If they don't do that, they won't have what Jesus has done. And so, you're getting back to the story, Jonah says to these people, throw me overboard. And it's interesting, he didn't want to jump overboard himself. He wanted them to throw him overboard. He wasn't totally owning up to the whole situation. But so then they tried to avoid throwing him overboard. They tried to row to land, and they finally gave up on that. And then so they said, okay, we're going to throw you overboard. And they threw him overboard, and he ends in the water. And this big fish, God had this big fish. It doesn't say whale, but it could have been a whale, we don't know. It was a big fish. It could have been a big shark. The other time he brought some big shark teeth or something. Megalodon or something. Megalodon teeth. And so there was this big fish. And so Jonah was not just in the front of the mouth. It says he was in the belly of this fish. So as was mentioned, he could have very easily been digested, but he wasn't. He was there in this belly for 3 days and three nights, and it was a serious thing. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then, here, the main thing I want to talk about today is prayer. And this prayer, this is a prayer. It's a very short prayer, but if you want to say a prayer, how to get out of deep trouble. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus taught about prayer. There's more about prayer than just this, what I'm reading, but it's a good guide here to about prayer principles. And so, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried out, and thou heardest my voice. And that's something that we know from the Bible, that God sees everything about us. In Psalm 39, it says he even knows what we're going to say before the words actually come out of our mouth. And the Bible says he even sees when a little bird, a little sparrow, falls to the ground. It says he knows how many hairs are on our head. That's amazing. And he knows all about us. And no matter where we are, in Psalm 139, it even says, even if I go to the depths of hell, even if down there, God sees us and God knows all about us. So Jonah was not hid from God. God saw him even though he was in the sea, in the belly of this big fish. God still saw him. And Jonah realized that in that situation, he could still pray and call upon God. And that's something that we can, if you want to say a lesson for us, no matter what situation we're in, no matter where we are, we can still pray and call upon God. You know, I shared one time the story about Joseph, who was sold into slavery. He still knew God was watching him and that he could still live for God and still make good decisions. And here, Jonah, he realized he could pray in the belly of this big fish. And we can pray no matter what our situation is. And then verse 3, for thou didst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Well, that was not true, what Jonah just said there, that I'm cast out of thy sight. God saw him there. He still saw him. Yet I will look toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The waters, the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And so, you know, we sometimes have to be on our guard not to paint things worse than they are, because God still saw him, and he said the bars were about me forever. Thankfully, he got out of these bars. We want to trust, always want to trust in God and say, God, I thank you, you're making a way for me. You know, one of my favorite verses, and you know this, Psalm 23, verse 6. We can always say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house forever. We don't have to say, it's over. We don't have to say, the bars are closed around me. We don't want to go there. We want to say, God, I just thank you that surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house forever. And so, verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thine holy temple. So he realized it was almost a little contradictory. One time he feels like he's hid out of God's sight, but then he realizes he can pray and pray, and that God is going to hear him. And I want to share a verse here from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that relates to this. I can flip these pages. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so every Christian, when they have asked Jesus into their life, we can pray to God the Father. We can pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. So we don't come through our own righteousness or our own right standing. We come because Jesus has saved us. The blood of Jesus has cleanse our sins away, and we rest in that. I mean, we still have a responsibility to live as holy as we can. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. But our righteousness, our right standing, is through what Jesus has done. Not because I don't come and say, I'm a good person, therefore answer my prayer. No, I come because of what Jesus has done. He has covered our sin. And so it says, let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so getting back to this prayer, so Jonah, he prayed, and then in verse 8, Jonah chapter 2, verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And so that's King James English, but that's almost like saying, if you are looking to the natural things to save you, you're going to miss God's mercy. We have to look and say, past that, and say, God, I thank you that you can make a way for me. You can save me. You can rescue me out of my situation. It says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You know, I'll use a small example. This morning I got up, and I live there in Irving, so it's about 15 or 20 miles from here, and I drove my car. I mean, I didn't try to walk. I didn't try to ride my bicycle. I got in my car. But I'm not worshiping my car. You know, the car for me is just a tool. I mean, I'm thankful I got a good car that I don't have to work on. It runs good, so it's a blessing. But it's just a tool. And so, you know, whatever we have in our life, we have to say, well, you know, if I have money in the bank or I have a house, those are tools. Those are things that God's blessed me with, but I am not going to worship my bank account or my house or any other possession or any other person. So it says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So we want to trust in God and say, God, I thank you that your mercy is available for us. And so I mentioned already, surely goodness and mercy. And we can say, God, I just thank you that your mercy is there for me today. And then verse 9, it says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. And so Jonah, in the midst of his situation, he could have been looking at, oh, this is dark place. This is weeds are around me. And it's dark here. It's cold here or whatever. We don't know what the temperature was in the sea. But it was not a comfortable situation. He could have been dwelling on that. But he looked past that situation, and it says, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. You know, here in a couple months in November, we're going to have Thanksgiving Day. And praise God, we're thankful for Thanksgiving Day. But every day can be a day of thanksgiving for each one of us. We can have an attitude of gratitude and say, God, I just thank you. I'm in the land of the living. I'm thank you I woke up today. I thank you give me a clear mind to think. I thank you that you've given me strength. I thank you that you're restoring my soul. And we can be thanking God. I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. You know, another favorite passage, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. So we can be praising God. We can be thanking God in the midst of our situation. And here Jonah, he was still in the belly of his fish. He hadn't been coughed up yet. So you can say, what did he have to thank for? But he was thanking God in advance. And if you want to say thanksgiving is like almost a step of faith, we can say, God, I thank you that you're working on my behalf. I thank you that you're helping me. I thank you you're giving me wisdom. You're helping me to know the next thing to do in my life. And so Jonah said, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. There's a verse here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 that relates to this. Hebrews 13:15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so, what has every human got? We've got a voice. We've got a mouth that we can use. We can use the mouth to complain. We can use the mouth to criticize. But instead, let's praise God. Here it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Back in the Old Testament, the Israelites, they had animal sacrifices. And so that was done away once and for all when Jesus died on the cross. He became the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He paid once and for all of our sins. And by faith we receive it. But what sacrifice can we still give? We can give a sacrifice of praise. We can praise God, giving thanks to his name. And so, getting back to Jonah, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. And then he said, I'll pay that I have vowed. And so we don't know all the details, Jonah, how God called him, but Jonah must have promised God that he was going to be his man, that he was going to go do what God told him to do. And he didn't do it. He made a bad choice. He went a different direction. But God got him back on course. And so here, Jonah, if you want to say, when he said this phrase, I'll pay that I have vowed, he repented from going the wrong way. I mean, there he was in the belly of that fish. He didn't have a lot of choices. He wasn't going to Tarshish anymore. But he said, I'll pay that I have vowed. So he repented. And then he said, salvation is of the Lord. And so we want to turn our eyes to Jesus. I keep on turning here to Hebrews, but I want to read something else from Hebrews that relates to this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And here, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And that phrase, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And here Jonah, he was saying, salvation is of the Lord. So if you want to say he was looking up at Jesus, he was saying salvation is of the Lord. And when he said this short prayer, and you can almost look at the parts of that prayer, he took his eyes off the natural situations. He was saying, if I just look at the natural, I'm going to miss God's mercy. And I don't want to miss God's mercy. And then he says, I will sacrifice with a voice of thanksgiving. And then he repented from going the wrong way. He said, I'm going to live for you, God. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Those very short things. And then what does it say? Next verse. Verse 10. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. Now, that's interesting. I thought about this a little bit last night. If this fish is in the water, and Jonah ends up on the dry land, that's almost like an air cannon. I mean, he didn't just get blip out, he got tossed out. He landed up there on the dry land. So we don't know all the details, but the fish was in the water and he ends up in dry land. So God can move in our situation. It says, and the Lord spake unto the fish. And so I just want to share a couple principles, you know, that relate to us. Besides, prayer is about how to get out of a bad decision, if you've ever made a bad decision. And so Jonah, he repented of that, and then he relied on God's grace. And then, if you want to say a couple other points, he did not let that bad decision define him. You know, this last week I went to a checkup, medical checkup, and so they asked me this question. I thought it was an unfair question. They said, have you ever fallen in the last year? And I said, yes, I did fall. So, one time. So, but I could have said, hey, I just rode 63 miles. I'm not going to talk about falling one time. I'm going to talk about riding my bike. You know, and so what do you focus on? And so don't let a bad decision define you and say, that's who I am. You can say, God, I am a child of God by the grace, by your grace. I am an ambassador for you. I'm a representative for you. I've asked you to forgive my sins, and now you've removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. And so don't let a bad decision define you. And then if you want to say, don't let a bad decision disqualify you. You know, Charles, as we were walking in between the services, he told a story about a man, and it was sort of sad. He was at the where they were dumping tree limbs, and he was saying that there was a man who was being very helpful, but then the man admitted that he was not a Christian, that he felt he couldn't even go to church because he killed so many people in war and so on. And so Charles was able to witness to him. But the thing is, we cannot, even if we've made a bad decision, let that disqualify us. We look in the Bible, Paul, who became the Apostle Paul. Sadly, he was at one time Saul, who was going around persecuting Christians, and God stopped him on the road to Damascus, and Saul, who became Paul, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he got back on track. And there's other examples in the Bible of people who made mistakes, who sinned, who got back on track and lived for God. So don't let yourself be defined by a sin, or if you repent from it, and then don't let yourself be disqualified. Say, God, I am going to keep living for you. Even today, sadly, it's sad to hear when a minister who's well known makes a mistake and it even gets in the news. But thankfully, some of these people, they have gotten back on track, and they are good examples of living for God now. And so we give God the praise for that. And then if I would just want to mention three things about how to make a good decision, how to avoid making bad decisions. Now here, Jonah, I think it was pretty clear. God spoke to him. He said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. But sometimes, you know, we either have ignored God talking to us, or sometimes we're in a valley of decision. We're trying to make a decision and we don't know completely how. And I just want to share three things that you can always do and rely on as Christians, first of all, is be guided by God's word. And there's a verse in Psalms, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And God's word is like a lamp unto our feet, and so a light unto our path. And so we want to, first of all, spend time in God's word. In Romans, there's a passage there about renewing our mind. And sometimes if you're trying to make a decision and you're wondering, what should I do? I sometimes would say, put the decision on the shelf for a few hours or a day or a couple days and say, God, I want to spend time in your word. Here it says in Romans 12:2, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so we can spend time in God's word and be guided by God's word, and God's word will help us to make a good decision, make good decisions in our life. It says in Proverbs, "The integrity of the just shall guide them." And so then number two is that as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. We can be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children or the sons of God." And so God will lead us. In Psalms 32, it says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with mine eye." In John chapter 16, there's a great promise. John 16, 13, it says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And so we can trust God through his Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, to instruct us and teach us in the way we should go. And then we could even pray and say, "God, I'm asking for wisdom according to your word." That if it says in James, if a person needs wisdom, let him ask of God and trust God to give him wisdom. And then number three, we can even ask, if you want to say, godly counsel. And there's a verse in Proverbs, "In the multitude of counselors there is strength." And so if you have a pastor, you have a Christian friend, you can say, "Hey, I had this idea to rob a bank. Do you think it's a good idea?" And the Christian will say, "No, you're not supposed to steal. Don't do that." You know. And so sometimes it's good to have good Christian friends to check up on things. You know, and sometimes people, they're not quite wanting to rob a bank, but they're wanting to do something that's not totally right. And it's good to run it by people and say, "What do you think?" And Christians can look out for each other. It says, "Exhort one another," and we can encourage each other in the Lord to make good decisions. And so those three things, you know, we want to be full of God's word. Let the word of God richly dwell in you. And then we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I believe every Christian, that leading can start out, if you want to say, just by when you're going the right way, you have peace. And when you're going the wrong way, you can have a warning. Don't do that. Don't go there. I shared the story before. One time I was, I have this mountain bicycle. And so mountain bikes, you go on forest trails. And I had this idea. I already had the bike in my car and I was going this place. And I was going to go bike riding, and it had started raining just then. And I felt like, don't do it. I felt like, if, you know, I don't want to speak, say God was speaking to me, but I felt, don't do it. But I thought, well, what's the big deal? You know, go ride a little bit in the forest trails. And I went about halfway through this course, and then my rear tire slipped on this tree limb, and next thing I knew, I was in the ground. I hit the ground. I was off my bike. I was okay, but I could have saved myself that just by listening to God. And, you know, sometimes the little things we want to listen, but sometimes there are big consequences. I mean, you know, we want to be sympathetic to anybody who's ever died in a plane crash, but there is plenty of testimonies where God has warned somebody or told somebody, don't go on this plane today. And we don't want to overdo that, but we want to listen to God. And that can make a big difference, to listening to the Holy Spirit. And so we can be in his word. We can be led by the Holy Spirit. And there's a time to get good godly counsel. And we just thank God for helping us make good decisions. And we thank God for Jonah loving the people that he had, and God loving the people so much that he went there and preached to that city of Nineveh, and it's almost a message in itself that the people repented, they turned from their sin because Jonah went and preached to them. So I want to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing a few more songs. Let's close here. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for everyone here. We thank you that you love them with a great love, that you have got good things for them. You want them to prosper and to be in health through your word. And so, Lord, we just give you the praise that you give us the peace of God that passes understanding, that we have peace with you and that we have the peace of God. And so, Lord, we just thank you, too, that we can follow peace with people around us. We give you the thanks and the praise for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Thank you, Reinhardt.
Yeah, you're welcome.